Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 64 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve. And we're going to cover this week's nerd topics, starting with some entertainment talk. We're just going to briefly discuss the first screen test of the Batsuit. We've got a new trailer for Stranger Things, and the Sonic movie is coming out with some pretty favorable reviews. Following that, we're going to go into tech news and discuss the Sprint and T-Mobile merger that has just been federally approved. In space talk, we've got some distant radio signals and satellite warfare. And then a big segment on China and their many efforts to undermine technology. A lot to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds. Nerds!
All right, and welcome back, nerds, to episode 64. And let's get started with, I guess, you went and saw this the Sonic movie, and I think we can throw it there. You've got your review up on thenerdcantina.com. But some quick thoughts, because we talked about this a lot before it came out. And Twitter wins?
I mean, I don't know. They win in, I guess, the overall design. The more cartoonish Sonic, I guess, did make it a more visually pleasurable experience. But, you know, they didn't change any of the writing. They didn't change any of Jim Carrey's scenes. You know, it's left to be unsaid if the critiques maybe weighed into their editing process. But for the most part, it looked great. Jim Carrey was actually really good in it. It came off is a little bit Ace Ventura-ish at times, but just like imagine if Ace Ventura went through two divorces, is old, and just became like a total dick. Like, dude was such a dick in this movie. It was actually pretty good. But yeah, the characters, it was a fun, you know, it's a family movie, so they're not going to go too crazy with the fandom for us old guys. I think they do want to bring into a new generation of video game fans into the Sonic family. And I think they did a good job. I'd watch it again. Let's put it like that. So, you know, if Layla wanted to go see it, I'd go to the theater again and sit through that with her. It was pretty enjoyable.
I think it's, you know, we debated, you know, many times about whether this was a good thing that, you know, a movie studio had to go back and rework something just because of Twitter trolls or whatever else. And I think it was a bit more than Twitter trolls because the general population thought that first rendition looked terrible. I think them fixing it was good because now, yeah, the movie can stand on its own and it's not just ridiculed because of the visual aspects that now people are actually talking about the movie.
Well, and a big question we had was, is, are the people that voiced their opinion actually going to go see the movie? And it had a $100 million weekend, so I think that answer was yes. I think the vocal community wanted to see this movie, but they wanted to see a good movie. I was afraid that it was going to have a Birds of Prey type opening. The Twitter rage was just people complaining about shit they really didn't give a damn about. You know, so the fact that on a Thursday night at 9 o'clock, the theater was pretty packed for a Sonic movie, which I was pretty surprised. Bunch of kids too on a school night. I thought that was pretty odd, but it was cold. It was cold as balls here in Chicago on Friday. And I think a lot of schools got shut down on Friday. So I think parents maybe figured they'd have the day off the next day, but yeah, a lot of kids in a Thursday 9 o'clock film. I was pretty surprised.
Yeah. I think, you know, the reviews outside of just yours, they're mostly favorable, and they're coming in saying that, you know, Jim Carrey really carries the movie, but it's a good, strong movie, and I think them fixing it was smart, and now this probably isn't going to be the only Sonic they make. You know, you may have $100 million, more than break even, you're profitable after the first weekend, here comes more Sonic movies, and good.
The end credit scene definitely was like, if this makes money, we're making more. So like,
yeah,
you could definitely infer that they are already writing the second script as we speak. I guarantee it.
So definitely good news on the Sonic front and video game movies. Some are saying, you know, the best video game adaptation yet. So We'll see what it turns out to be. Yeah, I don't know what they're considering video game adaptations at that point in time.
I mean, on the movie tip, you know, The Witcher just raised the bar for TV shows. But on the movie tip, I guess there hasn't been. I was a fan of the Tomb Raider movie. That Tomb Raider movie mirrored the game pretty well. I was a fan of that. So it all depends on that.
There's like seven Resident Evils. I mean, there's got to be something for those. I mean,
those.
I don't really know. And you know, the big failure is obviously the Super Mario Brothers.
I know, and I mentioned that in the review, and I had a few people comment like, "Don't rip on that Super Mario Brothers movie." And I was like, "Hey, bro, I was like seven, and I seen that in the theater with my grandma, and I walked out like this is shit."
What just happened?
As a 7 year old, I walked out like this is trash. They had a British dude and a Mexican play two Italians.
Yeah, and the Super Mario Brothers weren't even brothers. You're like, get out! What is happening here? All right, we're gonna go down the rabbit hole of criticizing that movie.
I could rip on that movie for an hour easy.
Yeah. All right. Next in entertainment talk, let's briefly discuss this bat suit. So you know that you get the like 1 minute of red light special bat suit video coming through.
Yeah. And, should have had TLC playing in the background.
And man, people just cannot chill for a second. You barely even see the suit and people are angry, very angry about this bat suit.
I mean, I kind of get that. There's a lot of people that love it. Either way, DC just invokes the sheer two different emotions. There's no gray area in emotions with DC. You either are total fanboy or you just shit all over it. There is really no in between. And regular Scott from Taken E vs. Marvel DC shared that like blurry picture we had talked about before.
Yeah.
And it pretty much got confirmed with this trailer. It looks exactly the same with the Lady Gaga shoulder pads and shit like that. I don't know. Seeing Pattinson's face in the mask and everything, he looks real slender. I just don't know how this fits. I don't know. I'm lowering the bar of expectations as we speak.
To me, it's just a suit. I don't know. I guess I don't care.
The suit makes the movies, though. I mean,
it doesn't.
It does. No, it doesn't. It does. You go from Keaton with the classic suit with the gold with the black and gold symbol and it's perfect, and then you work your way up to fucking bat nipples and it ruins everything. Like the suit is important.
I tend to believe it is important, but let's like a bunch of people coming out and just being like, this suit sucks, I knew this movie was gonna be trash. It's like, all right, that one does not equal the other. Let's
but it shows pump our brakes for a second. The mindset of the producers and director, right? I mean, it shows the mindset that they gotta, you know, we can't just stay traditional. We gotta be so meta. Let's do this with the symbol. Let's do this with the shoulders. Let's do this. Like, no. There's already like 8 bat suits drawn in comics. Like, we don't need another 7 done in movie form. If the X-Men movies have taught us anything, it's that people want more traditional costumes. That's a common theme when fans voice their gripes with movies, is that we want more traditional costumes. Yet all these movie producers and all these directors come in thinking, no, I need to reinvent this. I need to piss on this fire hydrant and make my fucking mark. No, you don't, pal. Shoo. Get. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, because, yeah, there's some, you know, suspended, you know, you got to have, what is it, the disbelief with movies. But if you just go off of even like the X-Men costumes or whatever else, and you put those in movies that you're trying to have some level of like realism look, they just look cartoonish and terrible. Like, you have a Batman suit from the comics that doesn't have sharp edges that you can't realistically look at and be like, oh, that's probably bulletproof. Like, I can kind of believe that this dude just got shot by 17 weapons and survived. Like, you can't do that. You have to make it a little hardened.
But nowadays our functional disbelief doesn't need to be as bad. You know, back in the 80s, the things that were bulletproof were limited. I mean, they got Kevlar like fabric that could stop bullets that is so thin nowadays and flexible that you don't have to suspend your disbelief that much. Just say, you know, new Wayne Tech developed Kevlar fucking cloth. The whole fucking thing's bulletproof. Done. But, you know, I you know, like the goddamn Black Panther suit shoots off absorbs kinetic energy,
yeah.
Shoots everything. Yeah. Nobody gives a shit. Nobody gives a shit.
But there's a difference in Avengers and Batman.
Is there though?
Yeah, there is. I mean, Batman doesn't have power. Like, it's not supposed
neither
to be
does
this
Scarlet,
weird.
Neither does Black Widow or Hawkeye.
Yeah, I know, which is why they get criticized all the time. But why the hell they're even a part of the team?
Yeah, but it's not even a subject that comes up unless you're in a comic book store. Like, no regular fan is really just shitting on these two. I mean, the other one got a goddamn movie of her own that's coming out in a couple weeks. You know, like, so I don't think that you need to do those kinds of things, especially now. I like the X-Men movies with the Psylocke costume and the Storm costumes and them going more traditional. The fans loved that shit. It was the highlight of mediocre X-Men movies. And I don't understand why they have to go this route. Like, just make a decent bat suit.
Either way, I'm not that upset about it. It didn't like pique my interest either, but I'm not that upset about it.
It's like a here we go again thing. Like, oh, here we go.
I was watching, I don't know if you've ever seen the show Hot Ones, where they eat the ridiculous hot wings on YouTube.
I've watched a few. I've seen they have a TV show coming out now, a game show based on eating hot wings.
Oh, really? I haven't seen
that. Yeah, they're going prime time. They're going fucking prime time with this shit.
So I've watched the YouTube show probably way too many of the episodes while I was like bored last week. And I watched one with Zoe Kravitz, and that while she was, you know, crushing down hot wings, which she takes them like a champ. I've never seen anybody in that show do better than she did. But she's asked a question like, oh, who's the worst fans? Harry Potter fans, or I think he said like Divergent fans, because, you know, she's in the Fantastic Beasts movies and the Divergent series. And before like he even finishes the question, she's like, Batman fans, hands down, Batman fans. And he's like, oh, really? Even in filming? She's like, oh, already. They're ridiculous. She's like, Batman fans are aggressive. They're the worst. So,
like, well, I mean, DC fans are like a battered stepchild. Like, they grew up into these horribly emotionally abused fucking adults, and I don't blame them. You know, it's after the X-Men franchise and the Spider-Man franchise, once the Marvel Studios came out, it was all kind of like downhill from there. So we only had a little bit of like, what the fuck are they doing with our favorite characters? They've been dogging DC fans for 40 years. Like, just dogging these people.
Yeah, well, I'm still kind of curious how this turns out. I actually am fairly hopeful. I'm more hopeful with this Batman and stuff than I was about, you know, when you were in pre-production and production of the Batfleck version of Batman. So I'm still holding out hope. We'll see what happens.
Release the Snyder Cut.
All right, let's look at real fast this Stranger Things season 4
really
trailer.
Not much to even talk about.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, only the fact that Hollywood TV, everybody continues to be on this theme. There are no stakes. No one ever dies. Nothing ever happens of any kind of meaning. And you kind of knew that this was going to happen. You know, it's Stranger Things.
I mean, did no one take page from George R. R. Martin? Like you can kill a Ned Stark first season. People are still going to watch. It's okay. Yeah. It's okay. Like, you could let these people die.
not in many shows or movies or whatever else. It's all kind of fake. Kill people. Get the suspense moment out of it. But
first fucking trailer, they bring them back. They don't even wait till the show comes out. They don't even wait till the final trailer, like a week before the show. First trailer, no other characters. Just like, hey guys, watch Stranger Things 4. We didn't kill Hopper. Like, what the fuck?
And I didn't even get the point of that. It's not like, did you need that in your trailer to pique interest? No. People are going to watch Stranger Things 4. It's like the most streamed fucking show that exists.
I know.
Like, you, people are going to watch it. You did not need to give the big reveal.
It's like it's like your mom's trying to plan this surprise vacation and dad just walks in like, we're going to fucking Disney World. Woo! The mom's just standing there like, what the fuck, you dick? On vacation. We had him at vacation, asshole. We had him at vacation.
But whatever, I'll watch Stranger Things season 4.
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna watch it. I think the highlight of the week though was the Masters of the Universe cast being released. Like, that is just like a who's who of voice actors, and I guess you can do something like that when you just have to sit in a room for an 8-hour day and pound out an entire season of voice acting.
Yeah, it's always kind of curious on why I guess they don't do more of this, but Master of the Universe, they're really trying to throw it back to a bunch of, you know, adult audience and toss it back to people in their late 30s, 40s to get them into Masters of the Universe and seeing what's going on. And yeah, you throw a bunch of names that we all know. It's definitely got as much hype as a animated show can have.
Yeah. Like you're talking like 16 like top actors, and like I just don't know how compensation works for voice acting. You know what I mean? Like, you, some of these characters, they're not featured characters, so they're probably only in a handful of episodes with a handful of lines. You could pound it out in the matter of day or days, you know. So how much does it cost to get a Lena Headey? You know, like.
They got, you know, Mark Hamill, Lena Headey.
Well, Hamill's Skeletor, that cost some change.
Oh, yeah.
He's got to put in some work.
But then you even got, like, you know, Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Fucking Buffy, yes, man. Fucking Buffy.
Yeah, you got Buffy in there. Who else is in there? You got Henry Rollins going in there as Triclops. Yeah, there's just a ton of people, and again, people that we know, Alicia Silverstone and Justin Long, a bunch of names, especially names to the 30 to 40 year old category. I think this category is
good marketing, because it's hard to market towards kids for like a Netflix show. What do you take out ads on regular TV and this and that? But if you just like put out news like this that get the adults into watching, dad's going to put it on, and all the kids are going to be forced to fucking watch it. And as long as you hook the kids, you got, it's two birds, one stone. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to put a bunch of ads on Cartoon Network or something like that. You just put out a couple blurbs like this, get the nostalgia, the wheels turning, and then be like, dad'll force the kids to watch. Like, we just got to hook dad. Yeah. We hook one dad that he'll bring along his 1 to 4 kids with him.
Well, and I think, you know, for the most part, a lot of, you know, the passionate nerds, you know, they've got nerd royalty, Kevin Smith as the showrunner for this animated series. So it's like, this was always going to have its draw within the nerd circles.
I did see one of my old, like, friends that I was in high school with shared the same picture that we shared in the Cantina group. And he went on like a big paragraph rant because he looked at who was playing Prince Adam and he thought it was a live action adaptation. He's like, this dude's going to have to seriously get jacked if he wants to play Prince Adam. Like, you're ruining my childhood. He went on this like big rant. And I was just like, it's a cartoon. Like, I don't know if you realize this. Like, if you actually click the article and read it, it says voiced by, like, and it was just like this .. like, yeah, bro.
All of a sudden, the whole thread's deleted.
Calm your tits, bro. It's all good.
That's good.
Ooh. But yeah, that wraps up the entertainment news for this week. The only other thing I think that we don't have on the outline is Sam Raimi's being talked about brought back into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
That ought to be, that curious could be interesting.
It could be. When that's confirmed, I think we'll throw greater speculation out there at that. But I thought Sam Raimi was also being talked about for Doctor Strange 2, being taking on the what's left of that movie.
That's like his door back into Marvel. Yeah. And then, you know, Tom Holland's the center of the MCU right now. So they're talking, about bringing him into the MCU again and giving him these characters and then pivoting over into Spider-Man again, possibly, and doing a Spider-Verse type film. Hopefully that's what I think everybody's like pitching for. Everyone just wants to see Toby and
everybody just wants to see the super meta Spider-Man movie, which I actually don't.
I'll throw down a few bucks.
Let things die. I'm okay with that not happening.
All right. Let's complain about the real world.
Okay. Yeah, in outside of fantasy world now, we'll go into tech world news. And first one we'll talk about is a huge merger that's been happening for 2 years now. It's been something they've been legally fighting for 2 years, and it's the $26 billion merger of Sprint and T-Mobile. Received federal approval. The federal judge approved that the merger can take place. And it's...
Because why do we need phone options, right? Like, why do we need that? It's not like...
Yeah, so now you go from four major carriers to three, and that's, you know, significant reduction in competition. The way this happens, and this is not really supposed to happen this way. Like, you're not supposed to have horizontal merging of companies, two companies that provide the same service merged together. That is supposed to be outlawed by the federal government. They allowed it to happen partly because Sprint just complained that with 5G and everything coming out, that Sprint can't compete on their own. So it didn't really hurt competition, because if you didn't allow this to happen, then Sprint was just going to die anyway. So you were only going to have three major carriers.
Yeah, but the thing to me is that then just let them die and let the three major carriers compete for that market share, which could drive down costs, which could benefit consumers. Maybe a small time cell player tries to make a move and picks up that market share. You know, to just hand that market share over to another company isn't the free market. You know, that you're now just making T-Mobile that much stronger, to whereas you let just a Sprint die, and then AT&T picks up a little bit of it, Verizon picks up a little bit of it, T-Mobile tries to pick up a little bit of it. But in order to do that, they have to offer better unlimited data rates. They have to offer better, you know what I mean? Like, they totally kind of fuck the consumer by allowing this deal to go by, because you eliminated market competition.
Yeah, and that's where the federal judge who approved it or whatever else, at some point within his, you know, many, many pages of decision, talked about that T-Mobile at some point is considered kind of like a maverick in the industry. They do different things, different pricing models, different packages than the other services. So even with the merger of Sprint, T-Mobile will just continue to be this maverick in the industry. So they don't need the fourth carrier, because T-Mobile is
huge market share, and they don't have to be a maverick anymore. They could just be a dick and like the rest of them.
Yeah, and that's the argument. Now you merge them together, and now they have the largest network of all of the carriers. If this continues to go through, and yeah, the problem is are they going to continue to try to change pricing models in order to compete with the other two larger companies when they're now the largest?
Yeah, no, I don't see that happening. Again, this is stuff that we have government, you know, entities in place. We have government entities in place to stop, and like, they just, you know, there was backdoor money involved in this. Like, I'm sorry, somebody got donations, somebody got stakes in hotels and probably high priced hookers at some point. now us as consumers get fucked, because it's, you know, it's not like we need better unlimited data rates. It's not like, you know, we need better coverage so that calls don't drop. It's you know, what do we, the actual people who pay for these services, what the fuck are we getting out of this? Not a goddamn thing.
Yeah, not necessarily, but there's still one other test because, you know, it happens all the time in this country. California has a ridiculous amount of power. So even though federally approved, the last hurdle, major hurdle for the merger is that the California, I think it's the Public Utilities Commission or Public Services Commission or something from California has to approve it. It has to give it the okay in order for it to go through. Because getting federally approved in this country is not enough. The state of California actually holds all the economic cards. And if you're not approved by California, this can't go through. So that's like, the last issue.
As a Midwesterner, we need to really break you fuckheads into like three states. Texas needs to be two. There is no reason for states to have this kind of land mass and population so that you guys end up being the big kid at the park pushing everybody else around.
Yeah, it happens time and time again.
You know, when it works in our favor, everybody's for it. But I just see the days where California is pushing some crazy shit that I don't even want to be a part of.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to happen. Yeah, we talk about it. We've talked about it a couple times.
Cars,
like their EPA regulations and stuff like that. Yeah, that they force standards into the automotive industry and other things that
it's the same thing with the Texas School Board. So the Texas School Board has six members on it. They buy the most school books out of any other state for their education system. So those six people in that Texas School Board dictate what gets put in your history book, what gets put in your math book. Like these are six people that are pretty much dictating the education level of the entire country, because the book company isn't going to print out a book for Texas, a book for Illinois. They're just going to print out one book. And if Texas doesn't buy that book, they're fucked. So they cater to Texas, and everybody has to, you know, have creationism put in their fucking biology book.
Yeah, well, I think as a resident of California, the politics here are ridiculous. So they probably deserve less power as they're swayed pretty quickly on a lot of topics. But let's you know, I guess move forward from this, because we'll see what the outcome of this merger is going to be.
I'm not set in stone, but I'm not hopeful.
we'll see if this finally goes through. It's been 2 years in the making. I think at this point in time, both Sprint and T-Mobile are kind of just sitting idle, waiting for this merger to go through and then commit fully to like 5G, which that's the primary driver. You know, if we're in a race to get 5G across the country, this is a good thing. If we're trying to maintain competitiveness in the cellular industry, this is a bad thing. So we'll see what the overtime is going to happen. But I do believe this looks like it's going to end up going through.
All right. Next one.
Some space stuff. All right. Space stuff. We've got some fast burst radio signals that were coming from another galaxy that seemed to be on a 16 and a half day cycle of the same radio burst hitting some receivers here on Earth every 16 and a half days. A lot of speculation on what is this that would allow for a cycle like that.
Yeah, I mean, I got my fingers crossed. Give me aliens. Like, I'm down.
Are your fingers crossed that it's aliens?
Oh, for sure.
I actually don't.
Oh, for sure. Like, I definitely want to see aliens in my lifetime. Like, whether it be a total invasion and that's how we all go out, or somebody's shaking hands on a tarmac somewhere. Either way, I want to be here for it.
I don't think that this is in any way aliens. Hard to exactly know what it is, but you know, the cycle, it's a lot of speculation that cycle of 16 days, 16 and a half days is just due to the natural orbit of something taking place in this this galaxy. So then every time it kind of presents itself within this orbit, it's putting off this fast radio burst. In the end, that frequency and the energy level coming from that is it exceeds anything that we can produce as far as the sheer energy coming from that radio burst signal. So it's probably a natural phenomenon and not aliens.
Yeah, I mean, I like I said, I got my hopes up, but I don't see anything coming from it. Either way, it gives a bunch of eggheads something to do for a while. Like, you, anytime they got shit they can't figure out, it's like a cat with a laser pointer. Like, oh, shit. Like, look at this. Look at this. I'm going to get it.
It's been going on for 2 years. So I like to think that, you know, the first time it happened, no big deal. All right, now it's happened 4 or 5 times. People are starting to really get interested in it and stuff like that. And now it's been going for 2 years. And I got to think there's some kind of like nerd party that's happening every 16.5 years. A bunch of nerds just hanging out in a room waiting for the signal to come through.
It's a big elaborate hoax from some dweebs at MIT. No, well, we'll see. We'll keep our ear to the ground to see if they figure this out. They narrow it down. You know, they know where the signal is, the direction of the signal is coming from, but still, that doesn't narrow it down too much. Like, it's space.
All right, and then some more in space. You know, maybe one of the first missions for the Space Force, or when we talk about Space Force and its actual purpose, is it's Space Force is now tracking some Russian satellites, two Russian satellites specifically, that are closely following a U.S. spy satellite or imagery satellite that's in orbit. And this kind of originated last year. I remember there being talk about it, that there was some Russian satellites that were launched, and when launched, there was only supposed to be like one satellite on board, and then all of a sudden there's two being tracked out of it. And you know, there's some speculation on that, you know, they're pretty much launching satellites that have satellites inside the satellites that are having baby satellites come out, trying to conceal the actual launch and orbit of these things. Well, we've been tracking it. It's as close as like 100 miles from the US satellite, and it's just in perfect orbit following along with the U.S. satellites, probably trying to gain at least seeing what it's seeing.
Hey, what are you looking at?
At a minimum,
I am
seeing
fully
what
confident
seeing.
We get a Trump 2020, we're shooting something in space down. Like, I am fully confident that if we get another term of Trump, he is just going to push a button and we are going to shoot a missile in space and shoot something the fuck down. And just hashtag Space Force. Not a doubt in my mind, bro.
It's possible. But this is just interesting. This is part of the purpose of the Space Force is to track these things, to identify threats to our space assets, as well as to track enemy space assets. So
I mean, to me, this is like an extension of like surveillance. So like we wouldn't just let a Chinese or Russian company start putting cameras on our streetlights and just watching whatever we do. These are just really high up cameras. Like, you know what I mean? So I see a new age where we tolerate this kind of thing less and less. Before, you know, we were shooting, everybody's got satellites up in there. We're all watching each other, but they weren't easily accessible. Now we're shooting shit into space like crazy. You know, we got all kinds of people just playing around up there. So I see us taking more action than previously when it comes to situations like this.
Yeah, and we'll see what's even authorized and what's able to
authorized.
Happen.
You need authorization? Yeah. No.
Yeah, yeah.
No, no, no. No. I mean, not this guy. Not this guy.
But I find it, you know, it's interesting even in the sense that we have, you know, surveillance satellites. These are supposed to be, you know, kind of super spy satellites up there, right? That the Russians are able to identify and match orbit to in the first place. They're able to launch a rocket to time it perfectly to match orbit with our spy satellite. And then at the same point in time, we're able to track them. It's like there's no secrets out there. Like we're able to detect everything. I don't know where this kind of space race is going to go and space intelligence, but this... Here we go, Space Force doing their job. All they need now is a name for their space members. as they requested.
I'm sticking with space members. You know, we got semen. You know, give them a space member and let them tag team. It's a T-shirt waiting to happen.
Yeah, Space Force asked the public for assistance in naming just their general term. You know, you got the Marines, you have Marines. Army has their soldiers. Navy has their seamen. Air Force has their airmen. What is the Space Force? One,
what are Marines?
We all know it's going to be Marines. That's Marines are Marines. Yeah, with Space Force, we all know, I think, that it's going to be gender neutral. It's not going to be spacemen.
No,
it's not like that. Those days are gone. Yeah, those days are gone. So I think space member is a good one.
Star person? Leave us a voicemail or hit us a line on nerdcantina.com. Let us know what you think.
There were some good and inappropriate ones in the Cantina group there. We'll see what comes about that. But Space Force is at least doing some work. They're not waiting for a name. They're tracking some Russian satellites.
Man, I'm telling you, it's going to be the Wild West up there real soon.
All right, and then before we move on to what's really a big segment of Fuck China, we're going to take a quick break here and just send out a promotion and shout out to some friends of the Cantina over at the Nerdy Bitches Podcast.
Hey, this is Liz.
Hey, this is Heather.
And we are Nerdy Bitches Podcast,
a show where two geeky ladies podcast their way through pop culture.
From movies and TV to our regular book club and everything in between, we bring you our favorite fandoms with a feminine eye.
We are talking Star Wars, Star Trek, DC, Marvel, comic books, and anime.
And don't forget sci-fi, fantasy, action movies, video games, D&D, board games, and so much more.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcast, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, or wherever you find awesome podcasts.
You can also find us hanging out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, and at nerdybitches.com.
See you soon.
All right, welcome, and let's keep going with this.
With our weekly
next segment, it's weekly, bi-weekly, it's as needed segment of Fuck China.
I think our inflection this week is going to be on the fuck.
First off, give some historical context. Back in, was it late 2017, 2018, where we had the largest ever data breach. Still to this day, it's the largest data breach that's happened, and that was Equifax having their servers breached for the tune of I think it was 145 million people. And we're talking about, this is a credit reporting agency, so that's including social security numbers, addresses, their credit histories, a lot of information taken within this data breach. And at the time, there were rumors that, back in 2017, there were rumors that this was China. This has all of the telltale signs that this was China. It was never proven. FBI has stated that the information that was collected during this data breach, they've never really found, like, out on the dark web. It's not been something that it looked on the surface that this data breach was ever monetized, that it was selling information, that it was part of identity theft. The actual breach itself did not cause harm individually to the consumers. So it really caused this question, like, what was the purpose of that gigantic data breach? And then now we get this week, four Chinese military officers indicted for essentially being blamed for this data breach back from 2017.
Yeah, China just gives no fucks whatsoever, man. Like, and a lot of it has to do with their power level and their economy and things like that. They just know they can get away with shit like this. It's quite amazing.
Yeah, like, what's the UN going to do? Put sanctions on?
Yeah, what we allow to go on. Like, at some point, the world is going to have to come together and consider a lot of this shit acts of war. It's the only thing they respect. You know, like, they do so much fucked up shit, like, so much fucked up shit. And we just kind of like, oh, China. Oh, China, you rascals.
Well, and I don't know, for me, one of the, you know, go ahead and put on my Nerd Cantina tinfoil hat, and what worries me is, honestly, I'd rather find out that this resulted in 100 people's identity theft and everybody had to have credit locks put on and stuff like that, because then at least we can understand. We can understand basic petty theft, right? That's something I can
grasp. Some Russian dude trying to take out credit cards in my name so he could buy some kind of sneakers or something. I can wrap my head around.
Don't understand is China has this history of using these data breaches and using using tech not as a cyber threat or monetary threat. They use it as a as an intelligence gathering issue that they're trying to gather as much data on every single person in the United States and as complete of a profile as possible. And you gotta wonder why. Like they're playing a game that none of us
that Russia, you know, has been doing lately with just personal data and algorithms and Facebook and things like that. You take the information the Russians have and mix it with the data that the Chinese have stolen. I don't even want to know what the capabilities are. That shit's, it's fucked up.
145 million social security numbers, addresses, everything else. It's sitting in a database somewhere in China, along with all the other hacking that they've done, which there's been government entities that have been hacked. They hacked even things like Marriott Hotel. The same team of Chinese hackers were linked to hacks on like the Marriott Hotel system, which again is just gathering. It's not because they give a shit about
taking like data so that they can do like one big great hack that is just going to cause total mass disarray in our country. You know what I mean? Like you shut down the bank accounts of 145 million people and shit is going to go down. Stores are going to be, are going to have no food on the shelves. Like I don't carry cash around me anymore. Like you lock my bank accounts, I'm fucked. I think I got $12 in actual paper money in my house.
Yeah, so I think, like I said, this is Chinese hackers, the Chinese government, whatever it happens to be, they're playing a cyber game that we can speculate on what it's for. Are they just doing it as a counterintelligence thing to identify threats and spies within their own country? Are they doing it to create perfect profiles that they can exploit against us? Probably the answer is yes to all of it.
Yeah.
And I mean, if they really wanted perfect profiles on everybody, all they had to do was just contact Facebook.
Yeah.
We know that they're going
to
help
Zuckerberg
you out.
We're going to just hand it to him. He don't give a shit.
But, this kind of ties into then, the next part is there was a conference that took place recently where the FBI is just trying to educate different, whether it was government entities, but a lot of corporate entities and university systems in educating them on the fact that the FBI is currently investigating over 1,000 cases of Chinese theft of U.S. technology, both in corporate world as well as Chinese officials stealing intellectual property directly from university systems, which is kind of a hotbed for a lot of technology innovation and AI-driven testing. They're just coming and stealing all of it. And the FBI is trying to educate these companies to, hey, you got to shore up your cyber. You have to have a greater approach. You may think that what you have is well-protected, and you may think what you have is actually kind of innocuous and the Chinese government isn't coming for it. But they're coming for everything.
Yeah. It's like in the video game when you can pick up, like, so this is why I didn't ever really get into Skyrim, is because, like, I'm from the day and age of the old school video games where a video game would only let you pick up the stuff you needed. you know, Skyrim, you could pick up everything. And when I start Skyrim, I just walk around the first house and I got a backpack full of spoons, bowls, because to me, it's just like, I might need this later. Like, I might be on a quest 5 hours from now and it's going to be like, you need a wooden spoon to get through this door. Oh, glad I grabbed that fucking spoon.
Glad I got 17 of them.
You know, so to me, that's exactly what China's doing. They're just like, I might need this someday. Might need that. They're just like data hoarders. And, you know, they just have all this information that if we need it, we need it. If we don't, who gives a fuck? We got it anyways. We didn't pay you anything for it. We're dirty motherfuckers when it comes to that. It leads me just to that point of like, when is the world going to just look at, you know, we still have companies that manufacture in China that give these plans to manufacture their products to China. Like, China's not just creating another factory next door making the same product for half the price that they're going to sell on a different market. You know, like, I just don't understand why even the free market and businesses look at China as honest players in these realms. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, even so I'm going to quote the FBI director, Ray, who even at this conference said, they're not just targeting defense sector companies. The Chinese have targeted companies producing everything from proprietary rice and corn seeds to software for wind turbines to high-end medical devices. And they're not just targeting innovation in R&D. They're going after cost and pricing data, internal strategy documents, bulk personally identifiable information, really just about anything they can give them a competitive advantage. Again, they're just going to gather everything. Like, they want to know.
It's like when torrenting was popular. Just download it. If you need it, you need it. You know what I mean? Like, just take it. Like, whatever. Just have a hard drive. And like, the day somebody says, hey, I need a copy of the Super Bowl Shuffle. Oh, I got that. I downloaded that 5 years ago. It's just been on this hard drive. I never thought I would need it, but here you go. Like, it's a, you know, we know people like this in real life with real things. You know, everybody's got a gearhead friend that's got 15 carburetors in an attic that they're never going to fucking use. But you talk to that guy, I might run into a 68 Chevelle one day that needs this carburetor. I'm going to put it in my shed. Like, that's how they are with data.
Yeah. And I mean, and then we see kind of even this arm, it's not limited just to cyber. I mean, they're just trying to have their influence in everywhere. You know, we saw the biochemists from Harvard, the head of the biochemistry division or whatever else that was indicted on charges for assisting the Chinese government. What we got this week, which I didn't share the article with you, was they found that Harvard, Princeton, Cornell, a lot of like these major top research universities, are all in trouble right now for non-disclosure of Chinese foreign money getting put into the schools. There's a certain cap that they're allowed to have, that they're allowed to receive from foreign governments. They are all exceeding it. None of them are disclosing it. The Chinese government is paying for significant grants and money to these universities.
To me, this shit is so fucking scary because I honestly, like, we talk about it all the time. Chinese can play the 100-year long game. Americans, we think in terms of presidential elections. We have 4-year fucking windows. And I think China is just banking on American greed and saying, like, look, these fucking Americans, they just want money so bad. We're gonna make cheap labor. We're gonna buy up. We're just gonna hand them money, and they're just gonna hand over bits and pieces of their freedom throughout the next 50 years. And then one day, like the crouching tiger we are, we're just gonna fucking jump on them. And next thing you know, bye bye USA. Like, knee high. Wow, motherfuckers, like, you better start learning to speak Mandarin now if you don't fucking pay attention.
Yeah, it really is, you know, kind of scary. And you know, another then article as we continue to in our Fuck China segment is just that, you know, so we've talked about cyber attacks and breaches in recent news, the technology theft influencing the university system, and then we know that we've talked a lot about Huawei and their actual effect on tech. And this week we get U.S. officials claiming and stating that Huawei has complete open back doors in order to snoop into mobile networks, as well as Huawei this week was indicted or they were officially charged with racketeering charges here in the U.S.
We gotta treat a Chinese tech company like the fucking mob.
So we get is, yeah, Huawei has these back doors built into their mobile network support and everything. So their 5G tech, this is why we banned 5G technology. 2 weeks ago, the UK said, hey, we're good. Huawei is good in our country. We're going to start move forward with 5G technology. And this had a huge split between UK's government and our government telling them like, hey, dummies, like we banned them for a reason. And if any country in the Western world doesn't live by our ban, like you jeopardize everything. So UK, you got to get on
it's, board it's with herd us, which is it's why herd vaccinations. Like, yeah. It's fucking the UK are the anti-vaxxers when it comes to Huawei, and we're just like, no, you dummies, like you can't even let it a little bit in.
So that's why I think you see these racketeering charges against Huawei now while we're talking about these backdoors in their mobile networks or exposing the fact that they exist. There aren't any signs or there's no data that says that they've used these backdoors, but they're known that they're in there, that they can open them up to spy on whatever's getting passed through their mobile networks and data networks. So, you know, we're just trying to convince UK to like, hey, come on, Boris, aren't you best friends with President Trump here? Like, aren't you supposed to have each other's backs and you know, one mind this thing? And in the end, you know, Huawei is still a threat if they continue their 5G dominance and spread that through the Western world.
Like, I just think some people are just so nonchalant about this and just like, you know, I just like the phone, man. It's got this cool camera. I just want a Huawei phone, you know, and if the Chinese want to flip through my camera, roll a dick pics, let them. I don't care. You know, and it's like, no, buddy, no. Like, there's more to concern about this than your nudes getting leaked on a Chinese server somewhere. Like, this is bad stuff. Bad, bad, bad.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we'll continue to see more on this this whole China thing. You know, this is just in the tech sector intellectual property this week. You know, we're not even talking about disease control and all the other stuff we talked about in the last couple of weeks with fuck China, right? So, you know, I don't want to overly dominate our talk here on our conspiracy, theories over China.
We try to spread out the fuck China segment, even though some weeks it's really fucking heavy.
Yeah, it was hard to avoid, especially with that Equifax breach being, you know, explicitly. Again, it's been rumored that it looked like a Chinese, state-sponsored hack back in 2017, but there was no real kind of power behind those accusations until this week. Definitely interesting, and we'll see where it goes from here. In the end, we can't put enough pressure on China, and the overall international community is not going to come pressure China to have them back off. So I'm curious on what's going to be the breaking point that's going to get everybody kind of united against.
It's time to push China that Made incursions. In the USA sticker campaign from the 80s again.
That doesn't matter. Because whether he makes it here in the USA, that's not going to stop, you know, things like this. Yeah, we could maybe slightly slow down the economic growth of China, but we're not going to stop their dominance on intellectual property and everything else. So curious on, like I said, I think it's going to have to take a significant impact or a kind of coalition in order to approach it. Now, I don't see us ever putting that together, not at least in the near term. All right,
last one.
Okay, fuck China. Over, done. last real stories here. And this is just my final shot on Macs. We get some PC Gamer magazine as well, a couple others this week reporting that. So Malwarebytes, big malware company, they've announced that Macs are now twice as likely to get infected by adware and some other malicious software as you know, once thought that. Yeah, the pretentious Mac users, whoever's out there listening to this. But I'm a diehard PC guy, so there's a little bias here. Mac users are always thought that, hey, they were
We're unhackable. Macs were
so much more secure. Yeah, we're unhackable. All these problems that you guys, you PC users have, or whatever else, it's just PC stuff because you guys suck and PCs aren't secure, but Macs are ultimately the greatest things ever. And I mean, the truth was, yeah, that was that. There was less hacking that took place because you had 10% of the market share.
Not even.
And yeah, if I was a nerd who was trying to steal people's credit card information and whatever else, I'm going to cast the largest net I can. And that means to target PC. And as the market share continues to go towards towards Mac, the market share is still overwhelmingly in favor of PCs, but it's now gotten significant enough on Macs, and Macs exploits are actually bigger than Windows right now. Windows PC security is actually greater than Macs. So now we're starting to see significant attacks and adware and malware targeting Mac computers specifically.
As more people are buying iPhones and tablets and iMacs, you guys have now turned the spotlight on yourselves. So like,
welcome to our world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Getting pop-ups nonstop and adware. Yeah.
Go,
gotcha.
Go ahead and download that song and give your computer AIDS too.
Like, so
I mean, as both PC guys, it's really shitty to say, but like the Mac users were so arrogant about this that you almost like, you know, maybe you didn't want their computer to get AIDS, but you didn't mind it getting gonorrhea.
Something curable.
Yeah, something curable. Something they need a shot for. Something they could bring to you know, Stefan at the Genius Bar, and have to sit there for 5 hours while their computer gets a shot so it doesn't burn when you put a USB in. That's kind of the point they're at now. Is they've become so active in the piece in the computing world that now hackers are looking to say like, no, it's worth my time to write this fucked up Apple code to fish. And not to mention most Apple users are fairly not poor, you know? So if you're going to cast a big net to get a bunch of money, that's a decent net to be, you know, that's the lake you want to throw in. Like, you know, you don't want to infect some PC in Zimbabwe. You know, it's the only computer lab within a 100-mile radius. You're not going to get much from them.
If you're listening to this and a avid Apple user, don't just have trust in the company itself. Make sure you go out and have and properly update your computer, update your devices, and go and get some actual software to defend this.
Download an antivirus and smash that 5-star button and leave us a review.
But I think that's it for this week's news.
Yeah, I think that'll do us. You know, as always, we love having these discussions with you guys. Come and join us on the nerdcantina.com/community. A lot of these things get shared and talked about more in depth in the community. We're approaching 500 members now. We just hit 400 a couple weeks ago. We're almost at the 5 point. A lot of fun stuff goes on in there. I really enjoy everybody's banter and what happens in there. So if you're not in the community, make sure you join it. Just be a fly on the wall. You don't have to post. You don't have to comment. Just hang out, see what's going on in there. And when something triggers you, go ahead. Let us know.
Yeah, you can join that over at thenerdcantina.com/community, or just search for The Nerd Cantina over in Facebook. Also, go ahead, you know, just ensure that you are subscribed to the podcast and have us set to download as the numbers are meaningful to us. We appreciate every listener. We're coming close to our year mark doing this and still enjoying it a great deal and hoping to grow the audience over time. So thanks again for listening, and come back next week.
See you later, nerds.